Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom with Bridal Tribe. I am your host, Cynthia Williamston, and I am so glad to be spending another Wedding Wednesday with you. By the way, happy Wedding Wednesday to all of my Twitter friends. It has been great tweeting with you guys, and I can't wait to get back to tweeting with you this week. I also want to give a shout out to one of my Facebook friends, Adam Feinberg, Chef Adam, with Fine Tasting Foods. If you get a moment, please go by his page, Fine Tasting Foods, capital F-E-I-N, Fine Tasting Foods. He will be submitting recipes for our magazine launch this month, which I hope you will all be subscribers to. So once again, a nice shout out to Fine Tasting Foods for supporting us and what we're doing. And tonight we're just going to go right ahead and jump right into our conversation of some things to know about marriage before you have a wedding and after too, with our guests, Dr. and Mrs. Shig. They are on the line, so I'm going to bring them in. Hello.
Hello. How are you, Cynthia?
I'm great. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Doing well.
Wonderful. Welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you on.
Oh, we're happy to be
glad
here.
To be here.
Great. Let's just jump right into the topic. Well, introduce yourself. Tell us how long you've been married and tell us what you do.
Well, I'm Dwayne Shig and my lovely wife, Cheryl. We've been married 30 years and my wife, well, she can tell you, she's right here.
Yes, I am a college nursing professor.
Nice. And did you have any input for the book?
Yes.
she had a lot of input.
I know.
Yeah, she had 30 years of input.
Exactly. That's what I thought she would say.
Yeah, 30 years of input, especially on the communication part. But we won't get into that. That's another show.
Okay. Well, why don't you tell us about how you decided to make this journey into becoming an author and why you wrote this book?
Well, one of the reasons I wrote the book was to assist those who are preparing to be married. It came out of a workshop that I had done a while back called Some Things to Do Before You Say I Do, just helping people to be prepared for marriage. But one of the things I discovered when I was doing the workshop, there were people who were already married, and so many of them wanted to come because of the information was still relevant to them. And so that was the germ, if you will, for the book, but also being involved in ministry and seeing a lot of people that get together, and then after they've married for a while, and then there are rocky times and things that they should have known, they didn't seem to know, or they didn't pay attention to. For instance, after being married for a couple of years, the lady would find out that her honey, her boo, her sweetie, her baby was a slob. Well, the fact is, he was always a slob. You were just so in love, you didn't recognize it.
Blinded by love.
Yeah, blinded by love. So I wanted to help people to recognize some things before they got married so that they can work on it. Or if there were too many things, they may make a decision, okay, maybe we need to wait. But also people who are already married that may not have gotten the proper counseling, because I run into a lot of people when I was preparing the book that said to me, people who are already married 5-10 years down the road, they said they didn't receive, you know, marriage counseling or anything of that nature. So the information was so important, and I wanted to be practical and not so clinical or pedantic, if you will. Just wanted to give people some real information on real issues, and I've made enough mistakes in 30 years so that nobody else would have to do anything stupid like I did. And also from being in ministry, dealing with couples at, you know, workshops that I've taught or premarital consultation from couples that I've married. And then also one of the things that helped was the survey I took as research for the book. I asked married couples What are some things they wish they knew before they were married? And so I use all of that, but to help people get some real information, some practical issues, and not just state the problems, because a lot of times when you read books like this, they just state what's wrong. Okay, now I know what's wrong, so what do I do about it? Mm-hmm. And so that was the motivation behind writing the book, giving people some practical information, some experiential information, if you will, to help people make decisions or at least provoke them to some conversations, provoke them to some thinking, because some of the things that I wrote about may not be specifically their issue, but it may provoke them to deal with some of their issues, but dealing with some of the practical issues that people deal with all the time in relationships.
Well, let's talk about some of those topics, especially, I mean, if you took a survey, and of course you had the experience yourself about the things that come up
right.
before and after a marriage. Let's talk about some of the topics that you touch on in
Well, you got touch on as a result of the survey. When I asked couples what were things that they wish they knew before they got married as it relates to marriage, as it relates to themselves, the number one answer, 95% of the people said that they wish someone told them that it was so much work. So I have a chapter in the book called It's Worth It, But It's Work. Marriage is worth it, but there's a lot of work. It doesn't just happen because you're in love, because, you know, after you finish being in love, somebody got to take the trash out. So it's not just about being in love and you love Jesus, you love the Lord, but you have to do a little bit more than praying. And so there's a lot of work involved, working on yourself to become partnership material, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Working with someone else as they're growing. Because one of the things that happens is that, you know, when you get married, that makes you a groom. It doesn't make you a husband.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make you a wife. And so becoming a husband or a wife, that takes some work. That takes some time. So we deal with the fact that it's work. You work on yourself. You work with one another. And, you know, that may take a little bit more time than, you know, the time when you went to Hawaii from the honeymoon and came back home. Well, it's going to take a little bit more time than that. We deal with that and help people understand that it really is work. And then the bottom line, the very first chapter deals with what it takes to have a good relationship. And the number one thing that I found is the idea of partnership, being partners. And I don't know, some of the listeners may be domino players or, like my wife, big whist players.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two ways you can play those games. You can play partners or you can play individual, what's called cutthroat. And oftentimes in a relationship, you get people that have cutthroat characteristics instead of partnership proclivities.
Oh, now that is something right there.
Yeah. And so it takes work to understand that, to become partnership material, or in the dating period, I get to find out if you are partnership material or if you just, you know, like to play cutthroat. You want all the glory. You want to do all the work. Well, that's not... cutthroat people don't make this husbands or wives. So we have to come together and become a partner. And it involves changing your thinking from me thinking to we thinking. So we have to think partners. We have to have that mentality. And my wife and I, we dated a year before we got married. And so in that time, becoming partners and changing our thinking. Now, it didn't happen in that year. It took us a little bit longer than a year, but we were going in that direction to have partnership thinking. And so those are that's, you know, very significant. I think that's the foundation of a good relationship, to know that going in, and is this person a partnership person or are they willing to become one?
Well, I like what you're saying, and I definitely want to ask the question about the dating period that you and your wife had for that 1 year. In fact, I want to ask Cheryl. Cheryl, when you were dating, what were the characteristics that drew you to Dwayne and made you actually say yes when he proposed? It was you who proposed, right, Dwayne?
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay, I'm just making sure because I've heard a lot of different things. So what were the characteristics that let you know that he was not just good groom material, but he was a good husband material?
Okay, before she answers that, I've got to kiss her on her neck so she'll answer it right. You know. Go ahead, dear.
Well, the main thing was that, number one, he was not trying to get under my clothes.
Ooh. Say it.
And the way he treated my son.
Mm-hmm.
Because, accepting my son was one of my number one priorities for whoever I was going to be with.
Mm-hmm.
And my son calls him his dad to this day. He's like, you my dad. The other guy we call him a sperm donor. Oops.
Oh, wow.
That's another show.
Yeah, I'm not touching that one tonight.
No.
I'm not going to touch that one tonight. We're definitely going to talk about that in a different show. But
right.
Okay. And also,
definitely,
he's very thoughtful. He wasn't selfish. Mm-hmm. He wasn't all about me. He was very considerate toward me and the things that I felt were important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I had prayed real hard. God said, that's the one.
Wow.
Yeah. Even God likes me.
Well, trust me, there are a lot of people still waiting to hear that's the one from God because, you know, they're dating people and they're still not sure. They don't know what voice to listen to. But I guess that's a part of kind of knowing yourself and hearing your inner voice, hearing the voice within.
That's true. And also, along with that, having some standards and some guidelines. And sometimes, and I don't want to offend anybody, but sometimes believers, Christians, church people even that believe in God, sometimes we can be too spiritual. And what I mean by that, we want God to do all the work. God say, okay, that's the one. Go down to the corner and turn left or stay at home, and he or she's going to come knocking on your door. But you got to go to where people are. There have to be some standards, some time to evaluate, some time to look at. In the book, I talk about three things: observation, conversation, and demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pay attention to some things. And, you know, God's not just going to bring somebody and sit them in your lap because I've heard people say, and I'm quite sure you've heard people say, God told me that you're my husband or you're my wife. And sometimes, and we talk about in the book a section called Just My Imagination, where people, they meet somebody on Monday, they fall in love on Thursday, and they're ready to get married, and the other person doesn't know anything about it. But in their mind, they've already planned the wedding, how many kids we're going to have, but other person doesn't know anything about it. And so that can be obviously problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And so time that people are dating, there's some observation. You need to pay attention to some things. Does this person ever talk to you about a rough day at work? Do they ever talk about a rough time on the freeway on their way to work? You want to make sure somebody has a job. So
right.
Pay attention to those things.
Right.
Observe. What type of person are they? And, you know, we can get into the communication later, but that's paramount also, you know. And so in the time that my wife and I spent dating, we got a chance to know each other, and we had different backgrounds. My wife is an extroverted person, and I'm totally introverted. I can stay at home and read and write, turn on a cowboy movie, and I'm fine. But, you know, if somebody calls and says, let's, they don't have to finish the conversation and say, go. My wife is ready to go.
I love it.
And she doesn't know where they're going. We're just going out.
Cheryl,
so,
I have your number, so don't be surprised if I call and say let's, okay?
No, come on now.
Okay.
You knew me before her, but I understand that's
okay.
That's that estrogen thing. Y'all got to stick together.
As long as you know.
I understand. But that took some time because of our opposites, and took some time in learning and accepting, you know, those things. And it took a while. We had a few bumps in accepting the fact that, you know, she wanted to go and I didn't want to go. And so Does she go by herself? Does she go with her girlfriend? Do I go with her with my lips poked out? You know, we went through all of that.
Well, how did you work that out?
There was a time when he used to say, no, you go ahead and go. And I would say, no. And then finally I said, okay, I'm going. Then I kept going too much. He was like, no, you got to slow your roll.
So, I mean, it wasn't too difficult to get through those kinds of bumps?
Well, there were some difficulties because, again, when I got married, I was 23. I was young and stupid. And so the information in the book, I didn't have that. So I've learned it over the years. So there were some bumps because we took too much time in terms of trying to come together because we were still – you know, we hadn't gotten totally to the partnership aspect yet, like I talk about in the book. It was what I wanted and not understanding the ideology of partnership. Partnership is about we. It's like if we're on the same team, I don't have to score all the points. I just need to get you the ball because you're a better shooter.
Hold on. Let me stop you right there because I do want to remind the callers, because we do have a few callers already. I want to remind the callers that if you would like to win one of the books that Dr. Shig wrote, please call in the number. The number is 347-996-3160, and just press number 1, and we will choose one of you who will win the book. There's two books that he's giving away, and we're going to give those away tonight. Go ahead and let's talk about partnership. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I had to let them know about that. Let's talk a little bit about partnership, and then we're going to take a call.
Okay. As I was saying, one of the problems in our coming to become better partners, we were not focusing on us winning. I was focusing on me winning and being right. Mm-hmm. And so when we got into discussions, if you will, let's be safe.
Intense
fellowship, as my friend calls it. But we got into discussions. Our focus was trying to win the argument, I mean the conversation, and not doing what's best for us. And so as it relates to partnership, we have to understand that when we're having conversation, the focus has to be not to win, because if I win and she loses, we still lose.
Right.
Than trying to be right or trying to win. And unfortunately, in the early part of our relationship, that was more of our goal. Yes, dear, you want to say something?
And I learned that the hard way because he taught me how to fight like him to win. It was my goal to beat him. And when I finally did beat him with words, it did not feel good at all.
Ooh, I can only imagine.
Yeah, and see, because I'm a word person, writing and speaking and teaching, that's what I do. And so I was trying to use all of those tactics, if you will, to get my point across, to use the words that would manipulate her. I knew how to say this so that she would only be able to say that. And then I could say, see there? Because I was, you know, young and stupid, and I was trying to win and not trying to do what's best for her, best for us. Because when you're trying to win, even if you do, it's like Cheryl just said, it's still not beneficial. Because it's like going to a restaurant and you have an argument on the way. You won the argument, but you can't enjoy dinner.
Right.
And so we had to overcome those things when we finally, you know, realized, okay, you know, we're just going in circles. Why don't we understand the idea of partnership and what's going to be best for us? Those are the guidelines, if you will, of partnership. Talk about partnership principles, and the number one partnership principle is that you have to have we thinking and not me thinking. And so that's the thing that's helped us overcome that, because when you have partnership principles, you have partnership prizes. And one of the partnership prizes is that you have somebody to watch your back while others are trying to stab you in the back.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a call on that note, talking about partnership and talking about the difference between knowing a groom and a husband, or rather becoming a husband after you've been a groom. The caller that we have online right now, area code 810 and last four digits 2706, we're going to bring you in right now for any comments.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. You're on the air with Tribal Wisdom. How are you?
Good. I just found out about this call not too long ago, but I'm excited about listening more. My question is from one author to an upcoming author. I'll be writing a book about relationships as well while yet still single, from the Christian aspect. So what made you decide to write the book that you're talking about on today?
Wanting to help people, because in my personal life, I have a burden for ministry, burden for marriages and helping people. And so wanted to give people some real information that would help them in their day-to-day life, and not just, but sometimes people, I used to work in the record industry, and I used to work for this famous writer, and I asked him about a song that he wrote, very popular song, and I asked him, why did he write it? And he told me he needed a hit. And so sometimes we have to be careful, especially in Christian writing. We can't write a book just to make money. We have to write a book that is our passion and will help people. And the money will come, believe me. When you, Zig Ziglar, someone I like to listen to, he said you can have everything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want. So I had a burning desire to help marriages, to help relationships, and wanting to reach as many people as I could. And so this was the way for me to do that, to benefit marriages, relationships.
I love what you're saying. Oh, go on.
Also seeing the benefit of people that we did marriage counseling together.
Mm-hmm.
People that we counsel and couples that we counsel and classes that we taught together, seeing how people were so receptive and so grateful for the information, that also motivated them.
Exactly. So, yeah, so those are the things that motivated me to write the book and put this information in there.
Yeah, I like what you're saying, because what you're talking about is being able to serve a generation. You're serving with your abilities. And,
exactly.
And you know, my grandmother used to always say, no one can ever pay you what you're worth, so you may as well do your best job anyway, and the money's going to come.
Exactly. All the time. And so just stay encouraged, and, you know, if that's your passion, you'll find yourself writing when – you're supposed to be doing something else, because the ideas will just come. And so you have to make sure that you have a time for writing, and you can, you know, a time where you say, I'm going to write a chapter this day, or whatever your particular schedule is. And you'll find that, you know, if that's your passion, it'll just come and come and come. And it will be beneficial if that's your motivation. And as I said, the other thing, the money will come. So it was a burden and a passion for me. And I wanted to reach more people than just in my local area where I was doing workshops.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cole, are you still there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. I noticed that we dropped you for a second, but you're back. I'm glad that you're back.
Yes, I did drop. I'm sorry. I heard the last part where he said about the burden. I didn't hear what he said before that. So I'm sorry.
No problem.
What I said was that I had a burden for helping relationships, and that pushed me to writing the book, and I wanted to give information that would be real and people could use it, and also wanted to reach more people than just the people locally. I was already doing workshops, and my wife and I doing that, but I needed to. This is so important that I needed to reach more people. And so that's what caused me. Those are the things that caused me to write the book.
Okay, great. Thank you, that helped.
You're welcome.
No
caller, you're definitely one of the first callers, so you can actually win a copy of the book. I'm going to ask you just to send your information to Cynthia at Bridal Tribe.
Okay, great.
And we'll get that right out to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. God bless you guys.
You're welcome. Don't leave. Don't hang up. Stay on the line.
Okay,
the
I won't.
The show. All right, hold on. And we do have another caller coming out of the 678 area code with the last four digits ending in 5688. We're going to bring you in just a moment. If you have a question or a comment, now is the time. You are on the air with Tribal Wisdom. How are you?
I'm doing well. This is Michael from Atlanta.
Hi, Michael. Very nice to meet you.
Michael? Hey, how you doing? I have somewhat of a deeper question to ask. Kind of read everything about husbandship and things of that nature and self-discipline of self. So I got past the whole trying to be right for the sake of being right, turning me into we and all that. So I got that clarity. But here's the thing that I kind of find puzzling since I've come back here to America. Whether it be secular or whether it be in Christ, I find it odd that a lot of times when you're holding a conversation in an effort to get clarity and or resolve, just not trying to be right, just trying to get clarity and resolve, how do you deal, sir, with, and this could be male too, but I just noticed mostly in females, because that's what I deal with on a relationship level. How do you deal with some females and their lack of honesty of the situation? I find it very difficult to talk to urbanites here in America because you can put something there that's blatant for them to see, their friends, mama and daddy, but for some reason they just, you know, percentage-wise, don't want to come to the conclusion of honesty so they can move forward in whatever you're trying to get resolved to in regards to relationship. How do you deal with that?
Well, one of the things that is important, if this is a, you know, a committed relationship, like I said, we start with the idea of partnership. If we really are partners, that may help you realize, okay, I'm not trying to down you. You need to be honest so that we can work this situation out. And then also, sometimes people have issues and baggage, and we talk about that in the book. People have issues from the past because if the last person they talked to was the person that used something against them, when they get to you, I'm not sure if I'm going to tell him everything because he's going to use that against me. For example, my wife was married before, and the gentleman that she was married to, he wasn't a nice guy. He used to hit her. And so that relationship ended. He passed away. There was 10 years before we met. And then sometimes early in our relationship, we would have an argument, and then she would flinch thinking that I was going to hit her. Now, I've never hit my wife. I've never, you know, done anything like that. Anything come close to that, I've never, you know, hit my wife, unless you count patting her on the butt or grabbing her butt. But other than that, I've never hit my wife. But because of those things in her past, she reacted that way. So sometimes people are maybe responding to you, but it's not you. They may have issues in the past of being honest or somebody using something against them. And again, that's where conversation, communication comes in. Now, there are a whole bunch of reasons for why people do things, but those are some of the common reasons. And so you might want to investigate that to see if there were some issues in the past or, you know, they're not used to. Sometimes people aren't used to people that are just genuinely, I'm just genuinely trying to be a nice guy. I'm not trying to, I don't have no ulterior motives. Like my wife said earlier, I wasn't trying to get in her pants. And so sometimes, you know, people may think that, okay, he's just giving me a line, so I'm going to give him a line. But having to understand that I'm not giving you a line. I'm just generally being nice. And sometimes people aren't used to that, so it takes some time to come through that.
Okay, I don't want to belabor that, but let me ask in addition to that, if that be the case, because I find for me personally, I've given up speaking to Black Americans, unless it's cordial or business. I just really don't.
You're breaking up. I didn't hear you. You broke up.
I said I find myself not even speaking to Black American women unless it has to do with business or some other social mechanism. I just don't even make any attempt once
okay.
I find that they're Black American or they have Black American friends. I just don't interact. I find that based on what you just said, that whole past issue thing,
uh-huh.
I find people don't know how to be friends. People don't know how to have just general interaction, or even if it was something along the line of courting. So I've just given up on it. So I guess my question, since you made that point, is, well, how do you go about, without belittling yourself as a man, how do you go about engaging in a with the person if they have that energy going on? I mean, you just say, that's just them, you're just going to have to keep plucking it, picking up frogs until one of them turns into a princess, or, I mean, what's your resolution on that?
No, you will always have, the person will always have to be themselves, you know, and the person you are will attract a certain type of people. And so being yourself, having certain standards, and that will attract the people who are willing to deal with those standards. Now, your standards may be, okay, I need somebody who has a good conversation. I need somebody that will, you know, tell me the truth. I need somebody, whatever your standards are, that's what you project. And so that's what you will attract. And then you attract six or seven people from that fall within your standards, and then who you like, they like you. And so you go from there. But you have to have standards, and you are who you are. And so who you are will attract a certain type of people. There are certain people that will be attracted to me because of, you know, well, obviously prior to being married, because of, I'm a, you know, because of who I am, because of the way I am. And so those are the people that you will choose from. And but you have to have, you have your standards.
All right, I appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much. You guys have a good show.
Not
you too,
thank
Michael.
You.
Thank you for calling. That was a very good and interesting question.
Okay.
He had a lot to say.
if I can, Cynthia, one of the things that does, if it's time to go into the another subject, is the subject of work. We talked when I briefly mentioned it when I talked about marriage is worth it or a relationship is worth it, but it is work. And so that may be some of the things that Brother Michael talked about, as other people talk about, is part of the work, talking to people, getting to see how they are, projecting, you know, your standards and see what their standards are. All of that is part of the work. And then you decide, is this, you know, is this worth working for, this particular relationship? Is being with Sheila worth the work I have to put in with Sheila? If being with Reggie is the work I have to put in with Reggie, that's what you deal with. That, you know, that's part of the work. Are you trying to build a chicken coop or build a mansion? It's harder to build a mansion than it is to build a chicken coop. And so what do you want? One of them is going to be harder than the other one.
Right. Well, you also touched on the fact that he might need to work on himself.
That's true, and
which
I mentioned
an excellent
that.
Excellent point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you work on yourself to attract certain people. You work on yourself to, okay, I'm, you know, I'm good over here, but I'm not good over here, and so I have to grow myself so that I can get better as a partner. These two subjects kind of overlap because sometimes people have certain qualities that are good. There's a good quality for a single person. But do you want to remain a single person? People that get up and go whenever they feel like it, and that leads into changing your thinking. You know, up and go whenever you want to. You're free. You're grown. People say, well, I'm grown. I can go where I want to go. That's fine, and you can do that. That's good thinking for a single person. But if you're in a committed relationship, you might want to reconsider that, and it's not a question of controlling, you know. I don't have to tell nobody where I'm going. I'm grown. Yeah, you're grown, but you have somebody that cares about you. And so you said you were coming back at 11, and it's 12 o'clock, and you're not back. It's not that I'm checking on you. I'm concerned about you. So that's why I'm throwing up your cell phone to see if you're all right. And then we have to be careful about hanging out with, if we're in a committed relationship, hanging out with single friends. Because single friends don't have some of the same responsibilities as people in a committed relationship. And you may find some of your boys, some of your girlfriends say, well, you know, I don't have to check in with nobody. I'm grown. It's not a question of being grown. You just don't have nobody that care when or if you come home.
Right, I guess. I mean, I know that at least a lot of my single friends, you may not have a husband or a wife that you have a responsibility to, but you still have family that you have responsibility toward. So I rarely hear, they always say, you know, I'm grown, but it's rare that I hear someone say, I don't have to tell anybody what I'm, I mean, you do have to check in. It's just a matter of there's someone that loves you. And as you said, when you're within a partnership, you are responsible to that person as they are responsible to you too.
And that's part of the change. And we spoke about being a groom and a husband. That's part of the change, because when we're dating and, you know, we're courting or dating, there's certain responsibilities, and then there are other things. But becoming a husband, I'm responsible for you, but I'm responsible to you also. And so I have that thinking to think like a groom, not just a boyfriend that came and picked you up on Friday and we went to the movie or whatever, and then I took you home and I went home if you're not living together, and then I went home. But, you know, it's different. And that thinking has to change when you come into a committed relationship, saying, okay, Cheryl is with me and nobody else, and I'm with her and nobody else. There's different dynamics, and that all that thinking has to change. And so those are some of, again, part of the reasons that, you know, I wrote the book. And then making those changes, you know, in our own personal life.
Right. Well, I want to ask you to take a moment to backtrack once again about working on self before you actually look toward getting married. I mean, what are some of the things that people should be looking into? I mean, you have to know yourself. What is the process, if someone is looking to do that, what is the process that you think that they should take?
Well, it's like you, that's the very first part of the book when it's talking about that, talking about knowing, not only knowing what you want, but knowing what you're getting, but knowing who you are, knowing that, okay, I'm personally, I'll give you a testimony. Okay, I'm used to being a leader, and most of the things I've been involved in, I've been the leader of it. So I'm used to leading. I'm used to giving directions. I'm used to, for lack of a better term, I'm used to giving people orders. But that can move into controlling and arrogance if you don't understand that. I have to understand that. Sometimes when I gave directions, I said it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And giving a direction to a guy on a team or somebody at work is different than giving some direction to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
At work, I can say, you need to go pick up those boxes. I can't say that to my wife. You need to go, okay, I don't have no more uniforms. You need to go wash some clothes. I can't say that to my wife. I can say it, but I still have dirty clothes.
It's been a good outcome.
And I still have dirty clothes the next day. So understand yourself and working on, okay, I need to talk better. I need to give, I need to say things in a different way. So I had to grow to that point. I had to grow to understand that I was, you know, a decent leader, but I had to work on my diplomacy. And so you have to be honest with yourself to recognize that. And one of the problems that we had early on was the idea, okay, there's nothing wrong with me, something wrong with her. She just don't want to do what I said.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with her, something wrong with me. You know,
right.
So if I said it nice, she'd cook whatever I asked her to cook.
Mm-hmm.
But if I said go in the kitchen and get something for me to eat, I'd still be sitting there.
I want to hear from you, Cheryl, about
She's in the kitchen.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Yes,
Mr. What do you want to know? He was talking about marriage work and the work that it takes to continuously build your marriage. I want to hear your take on what he's saying about that, about coming together and the changes that have to be made and recognizing the roles that you play within a marriage, you know, one that you play at work, one that you play at home. But I mean, what work did you discover or have to go through within this marriage?
Well, one of the things was being honest with yourself sometimes can be painful. And sometimes we just don't want to face the truth about ourselves. And when I was ready to face the truth about those things about myself, then it made things better. Like when to recognize, I knew that he was controlling, but then I had to look beyond him being controlling and see why was he like that. I used to hang out with my two best friends, and we would go out. We would close restaurants whenever we go out. We'd be the last thing. And one night,
Don't tell that story.
Dwayne,
butt out. She's talking.
She didn't drive by.
That's
what we called
it to this day. That was years ago. I still get teased about that.
We were sitting in the car talking after we had closed the restaurant. We sitting in front of one of the girls' house talking. And he came by and drove up. And he just swerved up in his truck. He was like, "Are you coming home sometime tonight?" And he just took off and did a wheelie in the street and went off back home.
She didn't call me and tell me, okay, this is hours and hours after whatever they were supposed to be done, and she didn't tell me nothing. And mm-hmm. So it's like, what's going on? Now, this is early when I was still young and stupid, so you can cut me some slack on that.
And I realized that, you know, because I love him and I see his concern for me, then I need to be more considerate. Because I had a tendency to be somewhat selfish. And I had to learn, you got to think about him sometimes.
And if I can say this, part of that is when, different people, sometimes, people have relationships at different times. And so if you're used to running your own shop and all those different things, my wife is 3 years older than me. Are you still there, Cynthia?
I'm listening. I'm right here.
Oh, my wife is 3 years older than me, and so she was already doing her thing, making decisions, raising the son, going to college, already doing those things. And so coming into this relationship, her understanding is that I don't need to say nothing to him. I know what I'm doing, and, my thinking is not correct to understand that, she really doesn't have to, tiptoe lightly, but we had to have a meeting of the mind to say that, not ask for permission to go anywhere, but to say, okay, I'm going to hang out with Kim or Tiffany or Pat, and I'll be back in 4 hours or whatever the case may be. Just finding that happy medium and, finding those things and making those changes from an individual to a part of a committed relationship. And it's difficult, as Cheryl said, when you have to face some things about yourself. And these are not always right and wrong things. They're just different. And when we get a chance later on, I want to deal with the communication issue about that. But it's not just a question of right or wrong. It's just that's the way I behaved when I was single. Or, so sometimes it's not a right and wrong issue. It's just different. Yes, dear, you want to say something?
And I was a very strong, independent, self-sufficient woman.
Strong, independent. If we had a camera right here, you'd see her, doing the neck thing and cutting her fingers, just showing how strong and independent she was. She is.
And it was difficult for me to find a balance of to pull back my being who I am with my strong independence. And balancing with being the wife that he needed.
Oh, that's so nice.
We had problems with finances because the way I worked my finances, the one check was for me to blow on whatever I wanted. The other check paid all bills. He couldn't get with that.
we talk about the money issue in the book. I write about that also, and that's all. The communication and money, those are two biggest issues in most relationships.
Right.
Whenever you want to, we can touch on that.
Oh, we're definitely going to touch on finances at some point. Clearly, we're going to have to do another show about it because that's going to be a whole other set of issues.
Exactly.
Well, one of the things that I like about what you're saying when it comes to the communication, once you're in a partnership, I guess it's a matter of learning to hear something as consideration and not as a command. And then
exactly.
It's also a matter of being able to speak through consideration and not as a command. So how we speak and how we listen is a big part of the work that has to be done in this marriage relationship.
You hit the nail on the head.
Yes, that's it exactly. How we communicate, how we say, not so much what you say, it's how you say it. For example, my wife was going somewhere one day, and she was wearing this nice sweatsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was finding a way to ask her not to wear it because it was rather clingy and it accentuated certain parts of her anatomy that I, as a man, knew other guys would be looking at. And
mm-hmm.
so I could have said, no, you ain't wearing that out of here. Or I should have said what I did say. I said, well, baby, I'd appreciate it, you know, if you would change that because, and I gave her my explanation because I knew what guys would do.
And what did she do?
And
she took it off.
She went in the room and took it off. Now, had I said it a different way, we'd still be fighting. You know, so it's not just what you say, it's how you say. And then the understanding, the thing about communication is to understand. Now, this is deep. Everybody write this down. Men and women communicate different. I know you didn't know that. I know that was deep.
But it's deep, but even when we know it, it's still deep every time we hear it.
What I've discovered is the problem with that is that we recognize if there's a difference, but in each of our minds, we consider it a right or wrong. Women will consider men not knowing how to communicate, and women consider women not knowing how to communicate, and that it's a right and wrong issue, and it's not a right and wrong, it's just different. And so when we approach it as right and wrong, we already have an antagonistic attitude, and so we won't look to find a solution. And so women say men don't listen. And it's not that we don't listen, we just don't listen estrogenically. And a guy will listen. When a guy is talking to his wife or his main girlfriend or a committed partner, guys usually listen for two things, for you to tell me what's wrong and what you want me to do about it. After that, I don't need to hear anything else you have to say because I know what's wrong and I know what you want me to do about it. So in our mind, that's the only reason you need to be talking to me about fixing that faucet. You don't need to tell me where to go to pick up the washer. You don't need to tell me nothing like that. You asked me, it's Tuesday. You asked me to fix it by Saturday. I said, okay. And in a man's mind, that conversation is over.
Right.
But a woman will keep talking and wonder why he's not listening. And a guy will wonder, well, why are you still talking? And she'll say something like, okay, when are you going to do it? And depending on how smart he is, he'll either think or he'll say, what difference does it make as long as it's done by Saturday? And then you got to fight.
See, this is interesting because it clearly is a lot of work. I'm thinking myself, I'm like, oh my goodness, you spend all this time getting to a point where you finally kind of know yourself, you communicate a certain way, you move a certain way through life, and then you become a couple and you have to change all over, you have to start all over from scratch again to learn how to talk to this person. And kind of learn yourself because you didn't know that you spoke that way before. It's so much work. I'm like, wow, it's tiring me out just talking about it.
It is work, but the focus is that this relationship is worth it. And again, as it relates to the communication, we are thinking, okay, my way of communication is right because when I communicate with the fellas, that's the way I communicate. I've been doing this all this time. But now I'm in a relationship with somebody that does not communicate the same way. And so in order for me to work on it, I have to understand it's not wrong. And so we just have to find a happy medium. For example, there's a great book, literally, Saved Our Marriage. It's called The Five Languages of Love by Gary Chapman.
Oh, I've read that. That's an excellent book.
An excellent book. And so when people communicate a certain way, we speak in our love language, and the other person may not recognize it. For example, if I said to you, quel air est-il, you wouldn't answer me unless you speak French, because in French I just asked you what time is it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't understand French, you're going to look at me like I'm crazy. My wife's love language is holding, it's touching.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people that know us, if my wife is within 3 feet of me, she's touching me. And early in my relationship, I didn't understand love language. I considered it clingy and irritating. Why are you holding me? We going to the same store. And I walk fast, and she walks kind of slow, so she hold my hand. You're just trying to hold me back. She want to hold my hand. She want to swing it. And, you know, I'm young and stupid. I think it's irritating. But once I understood what it was, okay, we holding hands, but we're not swinging or nothing like that.
Right.
But after I matured, I'm holding hands, swinging. If you want me to skip, baby, that's what I'm going to do, too. You know, but after I learned that.
Let me give you an example of what it being worth it. 6 years ago, I had a massive stroke, and my husband was at the hospital, the nursing home, wherever I was. I was in four different facilities for 3 or 4 months during this stroke. He was at the hospital every day. He would do my physical therapy every day. Whatever I did with the physical therapist in the daytime, he did that night. And when I came home, he waited on me hand and foot. Nobody could ever told me that our life would end up this way. Mm-hmm. But it made me really realize how much this man really loves me, because he just takes such good care of me.
Well, I do love her, but also she made more money than I did, so I couldn't, you know, I had to.
Cheryl, I'm starting to question how it is you put up with him, but you just talked about all the love, so I'm with you. I'm okay now.
Okay. But that's something that really opened my eyes. When I think back 20, 30 years ago, when we first got hooked up, I never would have thought we would end up like this. And it's very hard to lose your mobility and independence. I couldn't drive anymore. He had to take me everywhere I need to go. And I had to stop and be mindful sometimes. I don't need to go everywhere, nowhere. Just give the brother a break. Give him a break a little bit.
Right.
He wouldn't hesitate. If I say, baby, I want to go to the store, I want to go to the mall, I want to go here, there, everywhere, it would take me sometimes. He would say, baby, you don't need to go everywhere. You need to calm down and rest sometimes.
Well, that in itself, of course, all the stuff that we're talking about tonight is going to end up being so many separate shows, because to be able to deal with a devastating medical issue after you've been married for so long, that takes courage. That takes so much. So I'm not even going to go into it, because I'm sure, like I said, we're going to discuss that at another time. Let me remind the callers again, or the listeners, that if you want to call in and you have a comment, you can call 347-996-3160. We still have one more book to give away. If you're interested in reading this wonderful book by Dr. Shig, which his wife allowed him to write, let's just put that in there.
And I'm so thankful.
There you go, Cynthia. That's it.
Then go ahead, give us a call. Press the number 1. And let's see if you will be the winner of the next book. The first book has already been given away. Call in and win the second book. We're going to continue the conversation. We touched on partnership. We touched on marriage work. And we touched on communication. I know we said we were going to touch on money a little bit. But what do you think about that? I mean, Cheryl did talk about how she was able to manage her money the way that she wanted to, and then when it became a partnership, she had to learn something a little different, which in itself is work. So
in itself, it is work. And again, starting from the idea of partnership, you have to first answer the question, whose money is it? And that's always a question, and sometimes problematic. Now, depending on what rules you use to run your life, we live in California, so that's a community property state. So legally, it's our money. And for us, the book we use to run our life talks about the two becoming one, so it was our money. And we understand that that's what it says on paper, but we have to get that in our thinking. And because in the beginning, my wife, she's a nurse, and she's a nursing instructor. So for the most part, she's always made more money than me. And in the beginning, that was a problem. It shouldn't have been, but it was a problem because I really didn't have the understanding of it being our money. But then at the same time, you have to have some guidelines for setting up, your money, whatever it is. Some people say, okay, you pay the house note, I'll pay the license, and I'll pay the car, or the bills come to $6,000, everybody puts in $3,000 or whatever. In our house, the way we work it is that all of my money is our money, and half of her money is our money. That works for us.
Compromise.
And so you need a standard, some guidelines that prevents arguments in the future. If she wants to go hang out with her sisters or her girlfriends, we don't need to have a conversation about it. If I want to buy a CD or some tennis shoes, we don't need to have a conversation about that. But sometimes when there's no guidelines, we always have to have a conversation, and they can end up in an argument. And then that that can prevent the idea of having a stash. You know, your mother tell you have a little stash in case he go crazy. Well,
yes.
You don't need to do that if you have some guidelines for the money.
He gave me a stash. I love it.
Okay, your stash is half of whatever you bring in the house. Your income, half of that, that's your stash. And so there's no hiding. There's no dishonesty. There's nothing like that. And so for us, that works. And so because it's our money anyway. And,
right.
You know, because if, you know, something happens, let's say, you know, my part is not enough to pay the light bill that month or whatever the case may be. You want to either give me the money or sit in the dark for 3 days till I get some money.
I give it up.
You know, but there's some standards. And, you know, you need some standards. You need some guidelines. And those are the things you need to talk about. People who are not married yet need to talk about that, because as my wife said, she had one outlook on money and mine was different, kind of structured. And we butt heads for quite some time until we came to an understanding of getting some standards. The book that we use to run our life, there's a principle there that says that all things be done decent and in order. And the word order, in the original Greek text of the Bible, the word order is a word that means regular arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
When you have regular arrangement of things, there's less chaos.
Woo! You know what? Hold on. I'm going to have to write that down because I'm going to post that on Facebook, first of all.
Okay.
When you have regular, say it again, when you have regular.
When you have regular arrangement, there's less chaos. There's less room for argument because there's
mm-hmm.
already a standard. It's already arranged how it's supposed to go.
Well, we do have another caller on the air, and if you could believe it, we only have like 3 minutes left, but clearly we're going to go over time, as
I
already told you how it happened.
Before we do that, can I tell the people how they can get the book?
Oh, no, we're absolutely going to tell them. We're going to post it on Facebook. We're going to let them know. In fact, yeah, we can go ahead. Tell them now.
Okay, you can get it for AuthorHouse.com, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and if there are any retailers, you can call Author House at 888-728-8467, extension 5023. 888-728-8467, 5023. That's for retailers. But anyone else,
put it in your store.
If you want to put it in your store. Anyone else, you can go to Author House, BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com. And anyone wants to get in touch with me, we teach workshops on relationships. I can be reached at drshig@gmail.com, drshig@gmail.com, or my Facebook page, Things to Know About Marriage.
Love it, and I'll be certain to post this information for anyone who's interested. I'll put it on the Facebook page as well as the blog.
Thank you.
Let's go to our caller. Oh, and then let me
okay.
just say that if you're listening via the internet, when the show is going to cut off in about a minute and a half, but if you're listening on a call, you will still be able to hear everything that we're discussing. So you still have a chance to call in just to listen, because clearly we are not going to be stopping this conversation in 1 minute.
Okay.
So that number again is 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 if you have a question or a comment, or just listen in to the conversation. We're going to go to our caller now, coming from area code 817, and the last 4 digits are 7128. Clearly, this is going to be our winner of the second book. Let's see what they have to say or have a question about. Hello, you are on the air with Tribal Wisdom.
Hi, this is Sharia.
Hi,
calling
Sharia.
In. Hi, Cynthia.
How you doing?
I am great. I've been listening. I didn't catch the first half of the show. I think I came in, you had like 30 minutes left, and I was listening. I was like, okay, I'm getting anxious. I'm going to just go ahead and call, because I knew it was getting close, you know, for the cutoff time.
Right.
But I definitely want to call in. You guys have been putting out some great, great, great information.
I mentor
a lot of young ladies, you know, particularly, you know, African-American ladies, and they always, you know, have this same kind of issue going on. And so some of the same stuff that you were saying, it just, you know, it was like confirmation, like, okay, I'm telling them the right thing. I've been married 10 years, and we've gone through a lot of that with learning how to communicate. And I would always tell my husband, well, you know, well, I don't do it like that. I ain't got to do it like that. He's, well, got to do it this way. And we would just go back and forth. Well, this is my way. And so my way was my way, and his way was his way, and my way was wrong. And it was like, well, I just want to say it like this. I don't want to say it like that. You know, so we, you know, we went, and, it, you know, it was just a lot of tension. But one of the main things that you said that it just, it connects to everything is communication. Once you learn how to communicate, a lot of those things, that web that's real tied up, it's all knotted up, things will just start to kind of loosen. And you won't have all of that. If you can be irritated about something, if you just address it and you come, you know, with the right words and say it the right way, you know, in a certain way where it's going to be received, you're not going to get that smart, you know, attitude back, you know, and then y'all just going tit for tat. So, you know, we learn how to bring issues to each other and, you know, word things in a way where it was going to be received by the other person without any tension, no attitude, you know, no, you know, that pride that gets built up, because depending on how you bring it, that other person is going to totally shut down on you, ears close up, and then they don't hear anything you say. They don't want to hear anything you have to say,
mm-hmm.
and you got a whole lot of attitude, and will you know, or you feel like you're being judged, or somebody's pointing the finger at you.
Exactly,
and
then you have to defend yourself. See that when that happens,
right?
If I feel like I'm being judged or told I'm
attacked
wrong,
attacked.
I have to defend myself because I can't be wrong.
Right.
And so that starts a whole another conversation. And that's why I kept saying it has to start from the idea of partnership in
mm-hmm.
we thinking. Because if we're having
right.
a conversation, because we don't have conversations about ridiculous things. I'm going to be transparent. One of the silliest arguments my wife and I ever had was about, I don't know if you remember the movie Wild Wild West with Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
We
right.
saw that movie, and we argued over who was singing. Was it Stevie or Cisco? We actually had an argument over that.
But I was right, though.
She happened to be right. Now, the argument...
Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you how stupid it was, but
yeah.
there was something underneath that. It was more than just the movie. You know, there
right.
were some things underneath that. I lost the last one, so I have to be right about this. And vice versa. So,
you keeping points
are,
and score now?
Exactly. And see, that's why they have to be focused on partnership, because it's not a question of who's winning. I read
mm-hmm.
I saw a couple on Facebook, they were married 86 years, and somebody asked them for some advice. It says, and they said that marriage is not a competition, so don't keep score.
Right, absolutely.
Right.
Right,
well,
absolutely.
Sherita, of course you have won the second book.
Yay!
Of course, and you know how to reach me, so make sure you send me
yeah.
information. And we'll give you some choices, because Dr. Shake also told me that you can either get this as a hard copy, or you can do it on your Kindle, I think you said.
Right.
Is it Dr.
Right.
Shake?
It can
okay.
be an ebook or just, you know, a cover book. So we have one or the other. So you'll let Cynthia know whichever one you prefer. We have one ebook and we have one regular cover book.
Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I can't wait to get my book.
Thank you. When you get it, tell somebody.
I
oh,
definitely
wait,
will.
Now,
I will,
I'm going
I will be sharing it. And
nice.
Yeah, the next time you're on, I'm going to make sure I listen from the beginning because, yeah, we need to talk more about the money thing, because that seems to come up a lot when people are. I have newlywed couples that'll see us and say, "Oh, you guys are this, that, and other," and "Oh, that's so great," and how do y'all do that? And And then they start telling me certain things, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you might not need to do that, you know.
Oh.
And so, yeah, you know, it's just, it's, you know, it's one of those big things that people just don't think about. Like you were saying, you're just, you're used to operating with your money before you got married and everything, and you, your money was your money. And,
exactly.
You know, some couples, couple in particular I know, they've been married 16 years and they still have separate bank accounts, and it causes issues. And I was like, okay, well, y'all might need to put that together and stop worrying about, well, it's your turn to pay this. And, you know, you, if that's not working, if that didn't work, then you might need to do something different. And don't worry about, well, my money, his money, and whatever, and, you know, kind of compromise, and you'll relieve a whole lot of that.
It's probably going to keep causing issues as long as they have it like that, because that's a separation. You can't be partners if there's a major separation in something as major as that money. You have to deal with it every day with everything.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry. I just wanted to cut in, because one of the things that he said was, when you have regular arrangement, there is no room for chaos. And I think that's an excellent point for what you're talking about. They don't have a regular or order within their financial arrangement.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, if there's something extra, let's say, that may come up, you know, an issue, financial thing that may come up, they're trying to figure out, who's going to pay that? I'm not paying out of my money. You know. Mm-hmm. They're going back and forth, when at the end of the day, that belongs to y'all. Y'all are one, you are a couple, you know, and so y'all need to pick, like you said, otherwise you're going to be sitting in the dark, you know. So is it really worth holding on to what you call your money if it's going to hurt you as a household? So, you know, it's not really something that you need to be so divided on, and it relieves a whole lot. You know, we went through, I want to say, our first maybe 5 years, we've been married 3 years before I went back to work. I was a stay-at-home mom for like the first 3 years, and he was in the military, so of course, you know, he was bringing in the income. And, you know, when I started working again and everything, we just put it all together. And if there was something left, then I was able to do, you know, extra things that I wanted to do, or go shopping, or go buy this, or go buy that, but still be wise about it.
How come you got the extra money? How come brother didn't get the extra money?
He let me have the extra money.
Hey, Rita, you want me to take this one? I got the answer for that
he
one.
He said, see, that our arrangement was.
I got you. Good one. You got me.
As long as we put all the money together, everything gets paid, all the bills are paid, as long as everything is good. If there's extra, then I am free to use that if I want to.
If that's the arrangement, but that's what works for you, you go ahead.
Right. But yes,
the thing that works for you works for you. Now, you may have some friends, relatives that say, well, no, I would never do that, because different arrangements may work for different people. And as I was saying, our financial arrangement, some people may think that's ludicrous. Well, it's ludicrous for you, but I've been married 30 years, and so I'm doing fine.
Right,
so
absolutely. You've been married 30 years.
Yeah.
Right,
I'm like, hello, it must be working. Y'all might need to take notes, because a lot of people are not hitting 30 years, so you may need to take notes from somebody who's been married 30 years and still keeping it going.
We always say that everything on our show is not for every couple. Every piece of advice is not for every couple.
Right. Exactly.
True.
What works for some couples may not work for another, and what works, you know, for
one
might work for you. So you have to, you know, do it accordingly. And then, as Dr. Schick said, you have to have a standard.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's one of the things that I wanted to make known about the book, is that there are some principles in there, but some of the principles may not work, but it'll provoke you to putting something together that will work for you. I have a Facebook video series about 3 to 5 minutes called Some Things to Know About Marriage. And one of the things I do at the end of every, we talk about different subjects. At the end of each one of the things I make people aware of is that all of the information in here may not be your issue, but hopefully it will provoke you to think about your issue and come up with a solution for your issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, okay. Something that works for you. We should at least start a conversation.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have another question, actually.
No,
Sherita, I'm going to put you on hold. Don't hang
okay.
up. I'm going to put you on hold and remember to email me your information so I can send it to Dr. Schick so you can get your book.
Okay.
Okay, so hold on 1 second. We have a young lady on Facebook who said, what advice does he have for young couples talking about marriage and they're both in the military? I'm about to go on deployment and we've been discussing moving forward. They have been dating 2 years going on three. What kind of conversations should these two have?
The conversation that you need to have is an honest one in terms of understanding all of the, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but all of the issues and the baggage that come with that type of life.
Mm-hmm.
Need
mm-hmm.
to have a serious conversation of all the things that come with military life. And are you willing to do the things that it takes for a military marriage to work? And you may need to speak with some people who have been in that situation
mm-hmm.
to find out what they did. But the key thing I would say is have us the serious conversation, not, oh, well, it'll be all right, everything will work out. Well, my experience, and I talk about it in the book, most things don't work out unless they're worked on.
Nice. Most things cannot be worked out unless they are worked on. I love that point.
Exactly. And so they need to have a serious conversation about all the things that come with being in the military. It's bad enough with one person in the military, but with both of them. And this is the time where communication is going to be key. And what are you? And the work aspect, what are you willing to do to make this type of relationship, this type of marriage work? It's going to take A, B, C, and D for this marriage to work. Are you willing to do that? Or
right.
Are you the type of person that will do that? If not, are you willing to become that type of person? And so they need to have that serious conversation.
Right. You've given me an idea that I'm clearly going to have to talk to some military couples. I'm definitely going to have some military couples come on the show so
that's
that it. Young military couples can hear what the life is really like, because we don't want anyone to go in with any delusions
exactly.
that the military marriage is the same as any other marriage. So at some point I'm going to – callers, if you're listening and you have a successful military marriage, please get in contact with me at Cynthia@BridalTribe.com. We will contact each other. We'll talk it out. We will set up a schedule for you to be on the show and really share your wisdom when it comes to how to live a military married life.
Exactly. Very good idea, Cynthia. Very good. You're going to help a lot of people with that.
I think so, too. I think it's something that definitely needs to be done, especially since, you know, we're getting the questions.
If I may, another topic. I'm in ministry, and oftentimes that's a whole different aspect. I was working on a workshop called Marriage and Ministry, because there are a whole lot of dynamics that come with marriage, that come with ministry, that, quote-unquote, lay people don't deal with in their marriage.
You are so right. You're talking to a preacher's kid, so I know.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, you know firsthand.
Yes.
You know firsthand.
Yes, I grew up in ministry. Not only was my father a minister, but my grandfather was a minister, and my great-grandfather was a minister. My uncles are ministers.
That may be a good idea for show, Marriage and Ministry.
We're definitely going to set that up.
Yeah,
we're going to set that up. As a matter of fact, why don't we're talking about it right now, so why don't we set that up and not just have one minister talk about it? We will get your lovely wife, Cheryl, again, to come on, because, you know, you need her permission to do that. And
okay.
Very good looking out, girl.
If I kiss her on the neck right, I'll get her permission.
I love it. So maybe we can get about three ministers on where we can actually have a true discussion about the life. So we will definitely put that together.
Okay.
We are an hour and a half in, so we're going to go ahead and say good night. I just want to thank Dr. Schick so much, Dr. and Mrs. Cheryl and Dwayne Schick, for coming on the show. It has been such a blessing to hear just the nuggets of wisdom that you have been dropping for this hour and a half. It's been excellent, excellent, excellent. You have to come on the show again. We will definitely set that up.
That would be great, and I really appreciate the opportunity to not just talk about the book, but just, you know, whatever we've said that may have encouraged or inspired or helped someone anyway, we are pleased to do that because, you know, that's what we do. Serving is what we do. And, you know, we, as I said, we teach in workshops and things of that nature, but it's all about helping and making, you know, making people better equipped. Again, there's a chapter in the book real quickly called Are You Prepared? Or are you just ready? There's a difference between being ready to be married and be prepared for marriage. And so we want to help as much as we can. And I thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and say goodnight to all our listeners and all of our Facebook fans, all of our Twitter fans. I want to thank you for listening in and making this show what it is, and for really receiving the guests that come on here to really open up their hearts and open up their minds and wisdom and their lives as open books to share with you. So, again, thank you, everyone, for participating. You have been listening to Tribal Wisdom by Bridal Tribe. We are dedicated to love, and good night.